This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter. At that point, you usually correct me.
Nope, no corrections this week.
All right, so follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can actually subscribe to this program on iTunes.
Correct.
Now, Jeffrey, you are diligently going through engrossed. You're in a game that was brought to us by one of our guests.
What? Yeah, it's cool. It's a Tucson trivia game.
Yeah, when was it made? Because I think a couple of the companies that are listed there.
Right, 19, what does that say? 1984? 1984-ish?
Wow. That's in the dark ages.
Whose dark ages?
Yours.
No. Oh, here's a good trivia question for you, Fred. U of A's first official football team came in 1892, 1888, or 1903?
1903.
Wrong. 1899. Did I even give you that as an option?
Wait a second.
So we're here talking about all the people, places, events, and history that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a wonderful place. And this trivia game is awesome. I love it. I love it. Yeah, exactly.
Can you hear? Can you hear Bridget talking? Well, we didn't either, but.
Okay.
You can't hear me. Oh, yeah?
She's kind of taking over.
Good.
I love it.
Somebody should.
Jibber jabber.
So there, you know, before the show started, Bridget Thumb is with us, and she is a comedian extraordinaire, host of a monthly spelling bee down on 4th Avenue.
True.
Mom and general crazy lady.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of hats. There's a lot of different hats.
So she actually was the one who brought us this trivia game. And
yeah, I'm also like a champion thrift store shopper in Tucson. I'm like
the
best.
So what is your favorite thrift store?
Oh, gosh, my favorite? How do you pick a favorite amongst your children, really? I love St. Vinny's, St. Vincent de Paul on South 6th.
We like them, too, because they're part of the, you know, the Catholic mafia.
They're like this old school thrift store where they have a back lot with all this crazy stuff in the back, and then they have a front store, and then they have like a boutique area. It's always nice. They always have a ton of furniture.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, here's a good one for you.
Oh, he found
Tucson's Ordinance number 15 of 1876 charged $5 a month license for cockfighting and how much for pawnbrokering?
10.
Three.
$20.
Wow.
So it was cheaper to run a cockfighting operation than a pawn brokerage back in 1876 in Tucson.
That's
How about
wonderful.
That?
That's wonderful, Jeff.
So what's going on?
So this is the Friend Jeff Show, and we've been on a little tangent for a few minutes, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And we invite you to go to friendjeff.com, click on the events button, and there's all sorts of activities right there. But the stuff that I'm excited about at the moment is Bloom Night is coming. And if you listened to the show last week, you heard us talking about the Queen of the Night, the night blooming Cirrus is on its way to
Bloom.
Right. We don't know the exact date yet.
No.
But if you go to Tohono O'Toole's website, you can sign up for a newsletter. They send out... initially, it's weekly emails, but as Bloom Night closes in, you get daily and hourly updates. And actually, I was talking to the folks out there, and the Bloom Night may be right on my birthday this year, middle of of June.
Oh, really? It's that far away?
It's less than a month.
Well, but yeah, but we've been promoting it now for 2 weeks, so I thought it was imminent.
No. The buds.
No, it could happen. It could happen anytime. Right?
That's true, but the buds are starting to come out for the blooms.
Nice.
So it's about. Nice.
And did you post those pictures on the website, Fred?
Which ones?
The ones of the night blooming series from last year.
They've been posted for a year now.
No. But I think we should repost them, unless you folks out there want to go back to the Fred and Jeff Show archives.
Is there a night vision camera, like live feed every night?
No, there's not. But that's an idea. We'll spread the ask them to do that.
Absolutely.
So that's coming up. So if you want information on that, go to Tona Chul's website, which you can find off friendjeff.com.
Right.
Also coming up June 1st, which is a couple weeks away, is the TMC Meet Me Downtown 5K Night Run and Walk. And there's going to be a ton of activities. Starts and finishes at the Children's Museum Tucson, downtown Tucson. And other stuff going on, just the all the fun stuff. Padres are playing.
Oh, yeah. They're playing pretty good baseball right now, too.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're coming around.
Meet me at Maynard's and meet me at La Cantata.
Right.
On Mondays and Wednesdays, respectively.
Right.
And also up at the De Grazia Gallery, there's an exhibit of all of his watercolors going on through the end of July. So
and
lots
of
stuff.
Did you have fun at the Centurion event last night?
No, I did not because I did not go.
Oh, I wondered. I didn't see you out there.
Yeah, I assumed that you would be.
Oh, that's right. You had your kids' stuff, high school goofy graduation stuff.
Night Under the Stars.
That's right.
At Rincon University High.
Yeah. How was that?
That was spectacular. Those kids are so freaking talented. Speaking of freaking talented kids.
Yes.
The Jazz Institute of Tucson, their Ellington band, just got recognized as the number one jazz band by, I have to look this up real quick. It's just off the top of my head.
Yes, I see.
They won first place at a contest back east, I think, in D.C. But I'll look it up during the break and tell everyone what that was.
Very good.
So that's all I got.
Really?
Yeah.
We're heading into the summer months and the calendar's starting to get a little thin? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, things do slow down. People like, stay in and indoors a little bit more often. But there's stuff like at Tona Chul. They have morning walks. They have what do they call it? Birding? You can watch birds and listen to the birds and so that bird walks. I mean, but there's stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, especially at night. Night run, night bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're desert creatures. We only come out at night now.
Vampires of
too
the summer.
Hot. Too hot.
You know, it's funny.
But
I like
baseball games.
I like going to my Bikram yoga class now because it's cooler inside than it is outside.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All right. So we're going to take our first break because I'm sure if you're still with us, you'd like us to. And we'll be back after we pay some bills for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Music is a world within itself with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
Who seems to be in a world of hurt.
I'm lounging. Lounging here in the other studio. It's not the regular studio we do the show in. So this studio has these nice chairs. You can lean back, close your eyes, drink some water.
Why would you be?
The hangover goes away.
Yeah, why are you in that situation, Jeffrey?
You know, Fred, many a reason.
One being the Centurion Party.
Yes, the Centurion Party was great.
It was. Oh, so since we during the break, I looked up that thing. It was the Tucson Jazz Institute The Ellington Band won the top prize at the Jazz at Lincoln Center. So I was right. It was at the 18th annual Essentially Ellington High School Jazz Competition.
Wow.
And that was in New York City.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So we have awesome. And those guys, I think they play, if not weekly, monthly at some local hotels. So you can go in and catch those guys playing and gals playing some really excellent jazz music.
Do you know if they have a website?
I do not know that, but
if they do, we'll put a link on our website.
We certainly shall.
So y'all can go out there and check them out.
So one of the things that we love doing is promoting some of the great stuff. Well, I guess that's all we do is promote the great stuff in Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Yeah, that's true, friend.
And one of the things that we love, one of the places we love is Loft Cinema over on Speedway near Country Club.
Love the Loft.
And Peggy Johnson's been on the show talking about all the stuff going on there. But right now they're engaged in...
Well, Fred, who's Peggy Johnson?
Peggy Johnson is the executive director of the Loft Cinema.
Ah, thank you.
And I think she's probably the founder of something in this and that, or I don't know. You know, she's done
Fred,
a lot
I was
of
just
stuff.
Trying to help the listeners understand that Peggy Johnson was a muckety muck at the Loft, not she just is, some you know nice young lady that likes to attend film festivals there.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Clarity.
So right now the Loft Cinema is in the throes of a fundraising campaign to convert their upstairs screen in the main building to a digital camera.
Sweet.
And the importance of that is that
it'll be digital.
Well, you know, right now, or people are used to seeing or hearing about a film. And when you think about film, you think about, you know, the reel-to-reel 35mm films. But since technology has advanced so much and people, when they shoot a film, are doing it digitally, not a whole lot of films. In fact, probably zero films anymore are sent out on a 35mm reel-to-reel. So in order for the Loft to continue showing these great movies that they show, a lot of them that don't get a viewing at the mainstream theaters, we need to get them converted to digital. So the big screen is converted to digital. The new theater, the new screen that's to the east of the old Loft was built with the digital projector, but we need to get the small upstairs screen converted. So if you go to loftcinema.org and take a look at what they're doing, or if you go to friendjeff.com, we'll put a link up, contribute to the digital conversion. Now, with us in studio is the lovely and vivacious Bridget Thumb.
Hey.
And... You know, we introduced her in the last segment, but she is a comedian extraordinaire.
What does that mean?
Extraordinaire with an E on the end, so it's fancy.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Comedian in a top hat,
I feel bad for you because you're not an icon.
Well, I'm really famous amongst my family and friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They all kind of
that's
know
where
me.
To be famous. That's where you want to be famous.
Yeah.
Unlike Fred and I.
Yeah, we're infamous.
Exactly.
So... and she is engaged in these Tuesday night events going on at the Loft Cinema.
Happy Tuesdays.
And actually this week, this last week, her wonderful husband, Mike Sterner, led a fun little thing. And it was called Who Do You Know? Or
he's got a storytelling show. And I think it's called Tell Me Something Good. Was going to be called I'm Gonna Tell. But I think they changed that to Tell Me Something Good. And I think it's like...
Do they sing that whole song?
Yeah. You got to have a theme song. You got to have... Yeah. It's going to be one of those late night summer in Tucson, you know, place to be, place to see and be seen, and watch things on the big screen.
Awesome. So how did it go?
Oh, it's awesome. People, they talk about, you know, meeting celebrities or, you know, any kind of little... interesting story. Like you would sit around with your friends on a porch somewhere, you know, drinking beer, but here we're on the back porch of the Lot. And
you're still drinking beer.
It's the Mooney Back Lot Bar.
Back Lot Bar at the Loft.
True. So I think it's like... named after Heather Mooney from Romy and Michelle. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a different genre than I like. Romy and Michelle.
Hey, that's a Tucson thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So,
have you ever seen that movie, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion?
No.
Well.
I saw the previews.
Yeah, Miro Sorvino does a Tucson accent in that movie if you watch it.
Yeah, Miro Sorvino and
Lisa
Phoebe,
Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow. Yeah, well, Phoebe from Friends. But
exactly.
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, and it, you know, has Janine Garofalo, who's one of the celebrities that was talked about on the Mooney Backlot Bar this last Tuesday.
Yeah, apparently Mike Stirner had some kind of jaded history with
the
Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, he's got Janine's stories. You want to hear about it? You got to come down to the Mooney Backlot Bar and ask him about it. Maybe
That's
he'll
right.
repeat it for you.
Yeah, well, he told me some of the stories, and they were quite amusing.
Yeah.
So the whole tenor of these Tuesday night, late night Tuesday nights, and they're primarily led by, you know, some local comedians having a good time.
We're just going to do every Tuesday night. There's a different show, and it's kind of, you know, broken up like in four Tuesdays a month. So we've got the first Tuesday of the month is Behind the Screens with this group called Slow Clap, and they are improvisational, and they do kind of you know, like a Mystery Science Theater style thing, but it's more like director's commentary. And so they talk through the movie, and it's hilarious. So you have like you have to see it. And then there's Stirner's show.
This is radio. We're not seeing anything.
Oh,
we need
this is a TV?
More meat on that bone.
Oh, brother.
So Mystery Science Theater is that show where they show really bad movies.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a really good way to describe it or not. I mean, they're going to do sort of a director's commentary, you know.
But they didn't direct the movie.
No,
but it's going to be
pretend
comedic.
Like they did.
It'll be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good. Oh, it's hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah, laugh a minute, like a joke every second. You know,
is that a guarantee?
That is a lot. That's a lot of pressure for those guys.
Well, the idea is that you come, you sit down, you watch a movie, but you're not really watching. You're listening and you're enjoying and talking, and you know, it's that fun energy of the loft with the crazy energy, but it's outside.
If I wanted to, could I also make comments during the movie?
I think that there's, you know, it's a people kind of thing. It's a people.
Could we ask the loft to do Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and let Fred be the director guy?
No, I'd rather see
one of Fred's favorite movies.
I love that movie.
No, Revenge of the Killer Tomatoes.
Puberty lovers.
Exactly.
Yeah, puberty.
Exactly.
Love.
Exactly.
Such a good movie. Oh my.
Fred, that's sexist.
What's wrong with being sexy?
There you go. So that's our running Spinal Tap gag.
Let me talk about the next one.
A minute. I don't know if we're done talking about that one.
There's four.
Oh, better hurry up then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. We mentioned Stirner and Terry Owen. They are running that show.
Called
which is
Tell Me Something Good.
Tell Me Something Good. Yep. And that's going to be a fun storytelling night for everyone. And then Henry Barajas, one of Tucson's great comedian guys. He's hilarious.
We met Henry a long time ago at Charlie's Comic Book Store.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And he drew pictures of us.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah,
he has so many hats.
Very talented.
Yeah.
Very talented.
He does a lot
of
things.
One of the few people that does know me $20. So what's Henry going to do?
Well, he's probably going to wear his cute sweater vest, I'm thinking. But he's got
but
this
that's
show.
Not enough to go and see
it,
him.
It actually is, if you haven't.
Yeah, yes. Henry's a cute guy.
He's adorable.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And his
Can we
show
post
is
a picture of Henry after today's show?
We will.
With his cute sweater vest. Send that to Fred, okay?
All right.
And we'll post that up there.
I know I have a few.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. His is Viva La Viral. So
Viva La Viral.
He's going to show people. He's going to have guests. His guest this week is Dan Gibson of the Tucson Weekly. And the guests are gonna show their favorite viral videos, and it's gonna be hilarious.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll get to see viral videos up on the big screen at the loft.
It's genius. While you drink outside.
It's in the patio. There's a screen in the patio.
Oh, so it's outdoor screen.
Yeah, it's a multimedia show of the future.
I love it. Here in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
With Henry Barajas.
Yeah. In the summer.
And then we have the final show.
No, that's only two.
Oh, I'm.
Oh,
you know,
that's three.
Okay.
And then the fourth Tuesday is me. I'm going to have my own show. It's called Lonely Hearts Club.
And why is that?
Oh, I just love this idea where I can be kind of a Martha Quinn. And for you radio listeners, that's a reference to MTV. But like Martha Quinn and Delilah together.
Who's Delilah?
Oh, she's a radio lady. She's like Dr.
Is she
Dear
someone
Abby
you've made
type
up?
Of. No, I'm just going to basically be myself.
Oh.
But I'm trying to explain it.
I think it sounds very fun.
It is.
Is it a one-woman show?
Of course. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, but it's everybody's
show. Can you give us a little preview?
It's not just me. I'm just facilitating, like, other people's stories. People are going to sit around and we'll talk about, you know, heartbreak and angst and woe, and I'll read sad letters that may or may not be real. And then I'll play, like, video dedications to people, like, as if I were Martha Quinn. It's just going to be really fun for me, so that's why I'm doing it.
if it's fun for you, it'll be fun for everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be contagious. You'll see.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it is. It's going to be a great place to take somebody if you want to, like, break up with them, because everyone will be crying already.
All right, so we're almost out of time. How much is this? And it's every Tuesday, right?
It's free. It's free. My favorite word. Always free on the Mooney Backlot Bar.
9 o'clock Tuesday during the summer.
Tuesday nights.
For when's the first one?
Oh, it's been going
like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we're in it.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll have
more. Enjoy your trivia cards.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right, folks, we got to pay some bills. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour break, so stick around for more on The Fred Jeff Show.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can even subscribe to this program on iTunes. Now, if you go to fredandjeff.com, you can check out past shows, see pictures of our wonderful guests, and also get links to all the stuff we're talking about. So if you go to the events button, all the events we talk about are on that page.
What are you eating over there?
Nothing.
You're not chomping on something over there?
My tongue.
Oh, interesting. Sound like you're... Oh, you're drinking your 9,000-ounce...
Tea.
Tea, got it.
Peach tea. Green peach tea.
From our friends at Quick Mart.
No. From Maya.
Oh, Quick Mart? Oh, Maya. Oh, that's Maya green tea?
Yeah. I actually got a little strain. You know, they sell loose tea, and you put it into these...
Oh, yeah.
And the one I got is in the shape of a monkey.
Got it. I thought that was your big Quick Mart cup that you just went there and filled it up.
I could do that, too. This is radio. I can say anything.
You can say anything, Fred. Fred's not wearing pants.
Well, speaking of saying anything...
Yes.
You know, we love just talking about the family history.
No. You love talking about the family history. I love meeting other people who have fabulous histories. Like our prior guest?
Yes.
Fifth generation Tucsonan.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Because she told us before we started.
Well, I know, but it's fun to hear what all the other natives are doing.
Yeah, but, you know, back in the day when we first started the show, our big radio promo was talking about how...
Fred, did you know...
Can you tell the story about how Broadway was named?
Yeah, that was on one of the original promos when we started the show.
That's right.
And everyone gave us a hard time because they're like, you guys... You are so full of it. Broadway was not. And so what have we done? It's taken us 3 years to get in to the studio, the utmost authority on how Broadway got his name.
Well, how all streets got their name.
Right.
In the great greater Tucson area.
That is correct.
So David Layton, who is a columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Hello. Good morning.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, guys.
Well, yeah. We needed you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because people don't believe us generally, except mom and dad will.
That's understandable.
To a point.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Fred was a city councilman and that I sell insurance. So when you look at politics and insurance, there's some credibility issues.
Very questionable, in my opinion.
Well, that sort of begs the question. You actually contacted me about the naming of Broadway. And I was very clear with you that it was family apocrypha.
You did make that very clear. But, you did make that clear.
But it turns out that we were actually kind of accurate.
That is correct. After doing research, I found out that the family story was correct.
One for the good guys.
That's right.
This particular family story is turned out to be true. I don't know about the rest of your family.
Now, wait a second. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Scotland.
Scotland, is it?
Scotland.
And how'd you find your way to Tucson?
Actually, my father was Scottish and my mother was American. So that's how I ended up in the U.S.
That's great. But how'd you find your way to Tucson?
Tucson, it's kind of a little bit of a funny story. My grandfather was a big lover of the Old West, old Western movies. And so my mother grew up with those, and she always wanted to move out west. And so after stopping a few places like New York, Tennessee, Miami Beach, Florida, we ended up in Tucson.
Yeah, because New York is very Western.
Very.
That's cool. So how long have you been in the Old Pueblo?
I've been in, since I was about 9 years old, so many, many years.
And have you always wanted to be a journalist?
I think I've always wanted to be a writer. I've always enjoyed writing. I always loved history. So it's kind of fit together.
Did you go to the U of A?
Pima Community College.
All right. So. Good for you. And so when did you start? First and foremost, how did you come up with the idea to write the history of how streets got their names? Because everybody at one point looks up at that street sign or looks at Google Maps or MapQuest, and they scratch their head and go, how the heck did they come up with that name?
That's very, very true. Living here many years, I've driven by many interesting street names and wondered where that came from. This was probably about 9 months ago, maybe 10 months ago. I was driving down Prince Road, heading to the I-10, and I passed by a street by the name of Runway Drive. And I thought, that's kind of an interesting name for a street. And I thought,
A street nowhere close to an airport.
The airport's way on the south side. This is I-10 in Prince Road. And I thought, kind of a strange name. So I decided to make a right turn and turned into Runway Drive. Started driving down, and it went for about a mile. And there was no stop signs. You just kept going and going and going. And it was kind of at the same angle that the I-10 was running. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. It reminds me of an actual runway. So I thought, this is kind of interesting. So I decided just to go to the Arizona Historical Society, do a little research on it. And I found out that Runway Drive was one of six runways. It was the main runway of the old Gilpin Airport.
No kidding.
It was opened back in 1941.
So Runway Drive, the road that runs right next to I-10 North-South?
It's a North-South road.
Was an old runway.
It was one of five or six runways in the old Gilpin Airport. The Gilpin Airport changed names a few times and ended up being Freeway Airport was the last of it. Closed down, I think, about 1978. But it was an actual airport, small airport. And the terminals and places where the hangars where they stored the actual planes still exist. It's part of R.E. Darling Company that makes, I think, tubing for NASA. You can't see it. It's off of like Romero Road. You can see it off of Romero Road is where you can see that. But those buildings are still there, but they've been converted for other purposes. So the airport actually physically exists, and one of the runways is Runway Drive.
And that's how you got started writing about how the streets got their names in Southern Arizona?
Yep, that's the
cool
story behind it. Yeah, I like most people, like you said, you drive by streets and you're like, Stone Avenue,
Right. Or even Prince Avenue.
Yeah, was that an actual Prince? Yeah, Prince is actually pretty interesting. I actually just finished Prince up and sent it to my editor. I have a great editor named Jill Jordan Spitz, who works with the Star. And so basically there was a gentleman by the name of Levi Marston Prince. He's who L.M. Prince Elementary School is named after. And he homesteaded some land out there originally in 1885. And so it actually, the southern end of his homestead was Prince Road. And he donated land to the county to create L.M. Prince, well, what later became L.M. Prince Elementary School, named after him. So it wasn't actually named after a prince or a king or a queen, but actually a gentleman. And interesting enough, I just I was working with the Cushing family. We did Cushing Street downtown, the famous Cushing Street bar.
Sure,
that most people are very familiar with.
We were just there the other day before we went and saw the Million Dollar Quartet. We had dinner at Cushing Street. It was fabulous. It was really nice.
They have great food there. I was just a couple months ago. Met with a gentleman by the name of Rusty Cushing from California. And I worked with both the descendant of Levi Marson Prince and Rusty Cushing and verified that they are distant relatives. So Cushing Street is named after Lieutenant Howard Bass Cushing, who was killed by Apaches during the Apache Wars. And it turns out that a descendant of both of theirs married. It was Paul Prince Sr. married Hannah Cushing. So actually, Lieutenant Howard Bass Cushing and Prince are actually distant relatives of each other, which is kind of an interesting story.
Very cool. So do you have a hard time getting into all the archives at the Historical Society to figure all this stuff out?
It can definitely be difficult at times. I mean, it's a lot of research going down the Pima County Recorder's Office, going to Arizona Historical Society, U of A Special Collections, surfing the internet, contacting families and stuff like that. So some of them, I've been working on Wilmot. And that actually takes its name from Wilmot Station, a train station down in the southern part of it. But I still haven't figured out who Wilmot was. So some of them can be pretty tough. Some of them probably may not ever figure out. But it's definitely fun when you find them out. It's definitely fun.
That's very, very cool.
Now, if we throw out some random street names, let's do a little testing here. So Wendrew Lane, are you familiar with that one?
I'm sorry, which one is it?
Wendrew Lane.
No, sorry, enough.
Where is that road?
It's off of 5th Street between Craycroft and Wilmot. There's a sort of a subdivision back there that was owned by Drew Vactor's grandmother. And she named that street after her grandchildren, Wendy and Drew. So it's Wendrew Lane.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That is very interesting. Yeah. I think there's around 6,000 streets.
So it's only 6,000?
Well, this is the city of Tucson, not including Oral Valley and all the other suburbs and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a lot.
But I mean, even well-known streets like Craycroft and Swan and Grant, I mean, there's got to be history behind those names too.
Oh, yeah. Craycroft was originally called Kenyon. It was named after a woman who had a small development there named Zabula Kenyon, and she named the street after herself. Frank Craycroft, who was a business owner, came along. He built a house. House is actually still there, but it was, for those times in 1925, it was a huge type of palace, beautiful, beautiful house on Craycroft. And people just started going, well, go out to Craycroft, because at this point, it was just a dirt road way out in the middle of nowhere back in 1925. This is way out there. And eventually, people started calling it Craycroft, because it was at Craycroft's house. Go out to Craycroft's place.
Do you see that a lot in your as you're going through the archives? You see that a street was named something, and then because people would reference a house or where somebody
or family
where somebody lived, or a rock or a tree, go by that big Palo Verde tree, or go down by the Tanque Verde tree or something like that. That's how the streets kind of morphed into what they're called now.
Some of them do. I mean, there's no real standard of how they got named. They came out in different ways. A lot of the streets, for example, downtown in 1872, there was a survey by the name of S.W. Foreman. And he came out and did the town site survey in 1872. And part of the street names downtown, or a lot of the street names, for example, like Stone, are actually named after prominent citizens killed by Apaches. It was a form of honor. So Cushing was one of those people. Simpson, Jackson.
Franklin?
Franklin is actually named after Charles Franklin. He was a surveyor on the team. He was a survey assistant of S.W. Foreman. He actually asked for that street to be named after him.
He just snuck his name in.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Wow, that's great. Okay, we got to take a quick break. I know you got a lot more. We have a lot more questions. So, folks, stick around for more of this really cool stuff here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronsted Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's
Jeffrey.
Right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on
Facebook.
And you can even subscribe to the show on
Google.
No.
Beyond Pod.
iTunes. So we've been talking to David Layton, who is a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star.
And actually, David is he's a little nervous over there. We were giving him a hard time during the break. He's like, I'm starting to tighten up because Fred threw that stupid street name at him that didn't know.
I have a whole list.
David.
He'll find the smallest streets no one's ever heard of just to ask me. Where I might have information on all the big streets. He's like, what about this little street that used to be there but got named over in 1940?
Well, you know, I do have a question because there are many streets in the community that were renamed. Well, for example, Broadway, before our great-grandfather, you know, did his thing, was Camp Street.
That is correct. Camp Street originally took its name because Camp Lowell, it was a street that led to Camp Lowell.
That street went all the way out to Camp Lowell back in the 1800s? Broadway did?
Camp Lowell was actually physically located downtown. It's about where the old library used to be, where the Kids Museum and Armory Park is at.
Okay.
That's actually where the original Camp Lowell was at. It was originally occupied when the Confederates were here in 1862, and then the California column of the Union Army came in, and they occupied that land, and it was called Camp Lowell, named after a Union soldier who had been killed in battle.
So there's a lot of stuff in our little community named after folks that have been wiped out by either Apaches or some sort of battle. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, very, very true. As I was mentioning before, in 1872, S.W. Foreman came in from California. He was a surveyor, and he surveyed the Tucson town site, and he named a lot of the streets downtown after prominent citizens who had been killed by Apaches. Pennington Street, for example. You've got Jackson, like I mentioned before, Cushing, and Simpson, and a few other of the streets are named after prominent citizens killed by Apaches.
And Kennedy. So Camp Street was the street that went to Fort Lowell.
Camp Lowell. Yeah, the little history is that, again, the area was originally occupied by Confederate soldiers under Captain Sherrard Hunter. Union soldiers came in. Took over Tucson, and they occupied the same area, and then it officially became Camp Lowell at one point during Union occupation. And so later on, due to basically soldiers getting drunk and having way too much fun in town chasing after the ladies, it was decided that the camp would be moved farther away from downtown where they could create less havoc. Because you got a bunch of soldiers, and they don't have much to do in a small little town.
Right.
You know, a little Tucson, not many people, adobe houses and stuff like that, dirt streets. So it was moved out to the present location of where Fort Lowell is at on Craycroft and Fort Lowell.
Right.
And it was originally called Camp Lowell out there also, but then they eventually built actual buildings and they changed the name to Fort Lowell.
So share with our listeners, because I know Fred's chopping at the best bit to ask you this, share with our listeners how Camp Street turned into Broadway.
So it's an interesting story. And I did talk to Fred Ronstadt about this.
Who's that?
Liar. Liar.
Fred's changing his story now.
No, I'm saying that he's a liar.
Oh, okay, brother.
Fred's a liar.
That Fred guy.
Yeah. So basically, we're talking about late 1890s, probably 1897. Got a traveling salesman. Traveling salesmen back in the day were called drummers. Just like someone who drums and bangs on the drum all day, they were actually called drummers back in the day. So a drummer came down from New York City, and he met with the original Fred Ronstadt, who had his store on Scott Avenue and Camp Street. And he took his order, the traveling salesman took his order, and they sat around talking. And they looked outside at the dusty streets and the adobe buildings. And wasn't much going on. Most of the people were at the saloons or at church. And the traveling salesman says to Fred Ronstadt, he says, you know what you need around here? You need some of the hustle and bustle and liveliness of our Broadway back in New York City. And Fred Ronstadt kind of just brushed him off and goes, yeah, okay, okay. Traveling salesman goes back to New York City, steals a sign, or as I put in my article, in quotes, he borrowed a Broadway sign. And
Commandeered right.
would be a good word. The signs from Broadway back in New York City. Comes back about 3-4 months later, meets with Fred Ronstadt again, takes his order again. And after they were done, they were sitting around chatting. He says, hey, I got something for you. Salesman opens up his case, pulls out the Broadway sign and goes, this is what I got for you. And traveling salesman then bangs the sign up on the wall on his store, right under where it said Ronstadt's. So people started calling Camp Street Ronstadt's Broadway as kind of a joke. People would see the sign Ronstadt's and see Broadway underneath, and they say, oh, it's Ronstadt's Broadway. And it was kind of a joke, and it went on for a while. And by about 1909 is the first map I could find that shows Broadway on there. So it got changed. That's how it received its name. It became Broadway after that.
So didn't anyone have to agree to that? So, I mean, if I went out and started calling Campbell Avenue Jeff's Street and got like 20 million people to say, hey, it's not Campbell Avenue anymore, it's Jeff Street. We could just have maps made up and say Jeff Street?
You know, I searched for documentation back in the 1800s, early 1900s, about that time period.
Right.
And I didn't find a period where they changed it officially.
So some poor guy came in surveying and they boondoggled him and said, oh, yeah, that's Ronstadt's Broadway. And he didn't have enough ink in his pen, so he said, all right, we're just going to call it Broadway.
Could have happened. I don't know exactly how it happened since I never found any official documentation. But, I mean, I did find that's the stories that I found in old newspaper clippings.
That's very
and
cool.
From research I did talking to some old-timers and stuff. And that's the story they had heard, too. So it seems to be
fairly accurate.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not 100% exactly what was said. But, you know, it was a Stephen Troy Ochoa of the Ochoa family. He also documented that he was a historian also, and he documented, he said he had heard the story directly from the original Fred Ronstadt himself.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting that he said, I heard this from him and I got this story. So unless the original Fred Ronstadt made it up, that's probably the true story.
So you were telling us during the break that you've got a cool story about Houghton.
Well, I'm currently working on what people call Houghton Road. It should be correctly Houghton Road is
Houghton
the correct
Road.
Pronunciation for it. I just began. I just found some descendants of William and Florence Houghton. They're actually in Berlin, New Mexico. And basically the story is that the Houghtons, William and Florence Houghton, came out here in 1925. They homesteaded 640 acres
wow.
on what is now about where Old Spanish Trail and Houghton Road is at. And they eventually got their name named after him. One of the interesting tidbits is Florence Houghton her maternal grandfather was Daniel Wesson of Smith & Wesson Guns.
Wow.
So her grandfather was Smith & Wesson. And it's interesting. I've been searching on some of the last names. Turns out that Kris Jenner from that show, what's that show? The Kardashians?
Oh,
Kris Jenner. She's a Houghton.
Really?
Yeah, her main name is Houghton. And Katharine Hepburn was also, her official name was Katharine Houghton Hepburn. So there's some famous Houghtons out there that I've come across just during my research.
That's awesome.
Cool. So of all the street stories that you've done so far, besides the Ronstadt story, what's your favorite? What's the one that you were...
Assuming the Ronstadt story is your favorite... is not your favorite, I should say.
I mean, I've gotten a lot of interesting ones. Today's article is on Bert Mossman. That's out in today's paper. That was a very interesting one. I worked with his granddaughters. Probably the one that sticks out the most in the street that I've gotten the most requests for from readers, and I've gotten hundreds of requests at this point, but was Super Chicken Drive.
Super Chicken.
Super Chicken Drive.
And?
So Super Chicken Drive is it's an interesting story. So Super Chicken Drive is located just north of Tankaverde. And it's a small little street. And it's actually named after, basically the story goes, there was a balloonist. And he crossed the United States in a balloon and got himself into the... Guinness Book of World Records. It was a specific type. I think it was helium balloon. And he crossed from California all the way to Georgia and got into the Guinness Book of World Records. And he had called his balloon Super Chicken. And because he felt like we're all kind of chickens inside and we need to overcome that. So when he was building this apartment complex, and the name, I'm forgetting the name of the apartment complex, the city asked him, you know, you need to name a street. So he named it Super Chicken Drive, after the balloon that he had gotten into the Guinness Book of World Records with.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool.
That's a short version since we have to wrap it up.
Well, listen, thanks a bunch for coming on today and sharing your stories with our listeners. We really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and happy to come on again. I've got many more stories to share.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. I want to wish special happy birthday to my little boy, Larry, who turned 9 years old. Happy birthday, Larry. I love you. And, folks, we'll have more for you next week, more fun, history, events, culture, all the good stuff, that all the goings-on here in the Old Pueblo, next week here on The Jeff Show.